You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I tell you, we are blessed today to have someone that I just highly, highly, highly esteem. You know, everybody needs models and mentors in their life, and I can think of nobody that's a better model and a mentor than our next speaker. I'm just believing for the longevity. Amen. You talk about a quality couple in all areas of their life. Their family is serving God and in ministry too, and you know, they pastored the same church for 50 years. The same church. And just fired up and still serving God and still going around ministering, and I just couldn't have a conference without him coming. I want everyone to stand and give Pastor Harold and Lou Nichols a big hand as they come and minister the word to us. Hallelujah, Pastor Nichols.
We're going to talk about miracles. I think that's what we need in our family, in our church, everywhere. It needs some miracles. And why wait any longer? We got a supernatural God. He's waiting on us. You know, God hardly does anything unless we start it. So we've got to start it. So I'm going to talk about the authority God has given us as believers. I want this message to help you and to help me and to become stronger in using our authority God has given us to receive supernatural manifestations to our prayers. Good things are in store. In order to use the authority that is given to us, we must know who we are in Christ Jesus and what belongs unto us. Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Look real good. I look a little bit like my father. Yeah. Amen. We're creating an image and a likeness of his father. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and over the birds and over every creeping thing. Hallelujah. He's talking to us. We're people of authority. God is the one that has the power, but he don't turn that on until we execute the authority over it. Second Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not just somebody. You're extra somebody because you've been reborn. Hallelujah. Got an eternal spirit living out on the inside of you. They're passed away and all things are become new. We have a new father, a new brother, Jesus, and a new family and new life to live for the glory of the Lord. Many times, believers, we don't know really who we are and what's provided for us. A little illustration I've given before, and it's about an Indian man. He went out hunting one day and he found an eagle's egg. So he picked up that eagle's egg and carried it back to camp. Had an old setting prairie chicken there, so he put that egg under there with the other eggs. Time passed on, and finally the eggs all hatched out. All these little old chickens running around pecking, and he hatched out. But he thought he was one of those little chickens. He thought he was a prairie hen. When God had made him to be more than that, he had made him to take dominion over the sky and fly and soar above what other. Just birds could not do. So we need to know who we are. Yes, amen. Amen. I lived in a prairie chicken long enough. Hallelujah. One day somebody said, you know, you're worth more than a prairie chicken. Hallelujah. He'd give us some words. Thank God. Hallelujah. You had a dream. And it's going to come true.
Amen.
Yataha. And then you're going to rejoice. Then you're going to shout.
Hallelujah.
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 Be looking for more of that dream coming true. Amen. You'll dream another dream. And that dream will pass the dream you're up right now. He'll keep moving you. Amen. He'll keep increasing you. The anointing can continue to rise up within you. And you'll do some of those things you wanted to do and you thought you couldn't do it, but you can do it. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. We are no longer sinners, but God's own sons and daughters. Everything He has belongs unto us. That's my Father. Hallelujah. For this is the way God planned it. Everything belongs to us. That's the way God planned it. God's Word, name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, man, it can cause us to be victorious in this life. Now, I'm going to rush kind of fast a little bit, get over this, and I don't have it 15 points. So we don't want the dinner to get cold. The believer exercises authority when he believes what the Word says without question. Authority is a knowing, an assurance, it's a confidence that you what you say and what you do and act upon will be backed up by the grace of God, by the power of God. We have authority, but we don't have very much power. But we don't need much. God's got all we need. A policeman's got authority. He can walk out on the freeway and hold up his hand. That old badge shining. That six-wheeler slow will stop. He can't stop that. No, he can't stop that. But I tell you, he's got power behind it. I wish he had stopped.
Amen.
We don't have the power of a lot of things, but there's a power behind it, thank God. You know, I can't heal the sick. I can lay hands on the sick. God will recover them. But we got to initiate it. We, as believers, are not doing what we ought to do.
Amen.
That's why the church as a whole, and universal, is not getting along, because we're neglecting the power of God to be in our services. We can sing songs, we can clap our hands, but we need to see God move. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
God is still... Open that up for me. I hate to... Sometimes people hand it to me, it's on there so tight, and I can't get it off, so I want to... Here you go. You give you the water. You can have a water jug holder. Okay. Jesus gives us authority and command believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, we're doing that. Man, I tell you, every nation has heard the word of God. It's being preached. Not every individual, but it has access to it. It's preaching everywhere. That's one thing God told us to do. Now, here's some other things he said to do. That we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get born again, get saved, hallelujah, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. Amen. And these signs shall follow those that believe. What are they going to do? Cast out devils. Ooh, glory, ha. Woo, glory to God. Cast out devils. We don't have any cast out devil services in our church. We did way back yonder. We didn't plan it. It just turned out that way. What else shall they do? They'll cast out devils. Oh, this is a tricky one here. They'll speak with other tongues. Yeah, go ahead and go to college and learn two or three languages. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about turning yourself over to God, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and your tongue begin to waggle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Begin to speak the heavenly language. It'll build you up and strengthen you. I tell you, the church needs it. When I go to preach somewhere, I have to be real careful. A lot of people don't like you to preach on the Holy Ghost, preach in other tongues. But, so I had to kind of feel around and you can soon tell. So it's not my business to preach over the pastor. I ought to preach to him first.
Right.
Hallelujah. I like to preach to young preachers. You young yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I like to tell you how it works, what works, and what doesn't work.
Come on.
Ooh, holy God. Speak with new tongues. Build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. Woo. Hallelujah. Yeah,
amen.
They're drinking the deadly thing. It'll not hurt them. That means Fight the devil off. Amen. Don't put up with him. Hallelujah. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. How many has never... No, don't raise your hand. How many has never laid hands on somebody? Prayed the prayer of faith so the Lord could raise them up? They might bring you good chocolate pie or something good, but they haven't laid a hand on you in the name of Jesus. I tell you, it's for believers. Not all believers. It's believers that believe if you lay hands on them, then they'll get well. Amen. Qualifications to some of this stuff. This is not stuff, this is the Bible. I'm from Elmo. Y'all have to forgive me. We're not real smart people from Elmo. So then after the Lord had told him what to do, he was taken up into the heavens, sit down at the right hand of the Father, and they that he preached to went everywhere, preaching the gospel, the Lord, confirming the word with signs following. That's what we need. That's what we need. He confirmed the word. Like they got your toe that time. That looked like about 13. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord does supernatural things. Jesus said, the works I do shall ye do also. That's going out throughout the earth. Hallelujah. We have a command and have been given the authority to finish the work and spreading the gospel throughout all of the world. Luke chapter 10, behold, I give you power or authority over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Put the 91st Psalm right in there. Amen. I like that 91st Psalm. Wouldn't the 91st Psalm, I don't know where I'd be. I don't like to make the confession, but it's really true. I'm not a very good driver. She helps me. What will he do? Well, he'll lift you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. I look sometimes, I'm right over next to the road, off on the line, others passing it. Lord, helping me. He knows how insufficient I am.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Power over all the power of the enemy and nothing hell by any means hurt you. Now, I haven't got this far yet, but I'm working on it. Some preacher got to preach above what he does because, you know, we're failures too. You know, we got weaknesses too. So you have to preach to yourself. I preached this yesterday and the day before yesterday. And I'm going to preach it some more because I need it. Nothing shall ever hurt you. Man, we can have authority over burdens and yokes and cares and lack and sickness and depression and glory to Jesus. We have the right, as believers, to receive everything that Jesus accomplished for us at Calvary and get everything back that Satan's ever stole from us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to kind of watch my watch. He said, he gave me 45 minutes. I said, thank you, sir. I'll take 45. That's an hour and a half. We have authority to claim Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. Yes. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, sickness and poverty and all this thing. Yes, amen. Made something out of us. Amen. It's worth us living on this earth. Yes. I tell you, this earth would be in a bad shape if it wasn't people like you out there. God holding back because of us. Amen. We have the right and authority to claim what Jesus has purchased for us, and the Holy Ghost furnishes the power. But we've got to execute authority. Little story, all of you heard it, but you hear it again. A woman was going out to catch the bus, went from her house and walked out to the edge. She looked back, here come her little old dog, just right out there. Oh, honey, go on back. I've got to get on that bus. Going back to the house now. And she got ready to get on the bus, and he was still there. She stomped her foot and said, get! And he tucked his tail and ran. That's the way he got to treat the devil. Can't talk sweet talk to the devil. He's a liar and a cheat. He's a killer. Amen. He's after you. He wants to destroy you. He don't like me. He really works on me hard. Oh. A centurion that had a sick servant. He was on deathbed, dying. And he heard that Jesus was in Capernaum, so he lived close to there. And so he sent some of the Jewish elders to Jesus to tell him to come, and he'd come and heal him. So they said, the elder said, well, he's worthy. He's worthy that you do it. They started toward the house, got closer to where it was, and the centurion sent word back by some friend and said, tell that Jesus, he don't need to come. He said, I'm a man of authority. I can say to this soldier, go and he go, cometh he cometh, shut up and he shuts up. You're a man of authority. You don't need to come to my house. I'm not worthy you come in. Just speak the word only. Hallelujah. And he would heal that very same hour. Yes. It takes authority. Authority. Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to remember this sermon whenever I get in a tight spot. You mean you get in tight spots all the time? Jesus gives us authority to anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith. The result is the Lord will raise them up. I'm going to skip some things here and cut that down to an hour and a half. Jesus gives us authority to speak to the mountain and say, are you a problem? Be thou removed and cast away into the sea. Amen. You can have what you say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be bold. Be bold in using your authority. Now, I'm going to use some illustrations more in a little bit. But I've met a lot of great men of God. Been blessed with that. And I don't know why I'm just a little run from Elmore. I run everywhere I went. Glad I finally grew up. An evangelist in the early 50s and I guess the late 40s, more the early 50s, Jack Cole, evangelist Jack Cole. Now, I knew him pretty good. Oh, he lived in that same town. I was a carpenter at that time. I was pastoring, but I was still building houses. And he wanted me to build him a garage for a car he was going to buy. So he gave me the plans. It's 20 foot. That's what they built it, 20 foot, 12 foot wide and 20 foot this way. So he came, went to... He went to California and preaching, and he bought a big, long Buick. He got there and drew it down the garage. I was there when he did it. You don't have rod, about that much to stick it out. He didn't say, look at that, what you done. It wasn't my fault. But he just laughed and chuckled. He's big, like me, he's big. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I've seen a lot of wonderful things. Oral Roberts and his meetings. I was at a lot of those meetings. Two of them in Fort Worth, Atlanta, Georgia one. Went there. And then, that's in real earlier days when we were so hungry. And we went to that tent, big tent, and it filled up. My wife would go about 5 o'clock in the afternoon and get us 2 seats on the second row. When you get on the front row, they're reserved. And then I'd come in from work and get on down there, and I could see real good what was going on. Yeah. Talking about supernatural now. I watched him. I watched people, lame people. I watched lame up there. I watched them run when they got through. Amen. I saw one particularly, the only one I'm going to mention, that one guy came up there and he had a boil, a big rising, or boils on his neck. I used to have them when I was a kid, still got a scar right there. And you talk about hurting, that big core, really hurt, painful. And it read there, he came up there, Brother Roberts, and Brother Roberts looked at him and watched his glasses, slapped him right there and hit him on that. Man, I jumped in my seat, I knew how that hurt. Rubbed it a little bit, took his hand off and it was slick as your face. Wow. Woo, glory to God, I tell you, God can do anything. And he does it good. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Does it well. There's a lot of miracles I've seen. I've seen miracles under Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Glory to God. Jerry Savelle's. Shambok, hallelujah. I used to have Shambok sometime in my church, and I tell you, he can draw a crowd. He filled that thing up, all that auditorium, about 900, and he would just do some wonderful things. Wonderful things. Thank God. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We have authority to call those things which are not as though they were.
Yes.
And be bold. There's bold men. Been around a lot of bold people. Bold people. The eagle hatched out among the prairie chicken, didn't know he was an eagle, didn't know he couldn't fly, didn't know he couldn't soar. So many Christian people don't know anything about who they are or what God will do for them. Oh, glory. They're in a good church. It preaches the gospel. The full gospel. Hallelujah. See the miracles come along. Huh? The great, great miracles. People don't realize who they are. An angel appeared unto Gideon and said, Gideon, you're thou mighty man of valor. Mighty man of strength, mighty man of positions, mighty man of war. He said, who? He began to describe himself. He said, well, I'm just nothing. My father's broke. we're the poorest people in town and everything, nothing going right. Hallelujah. But God saw him different. God saw him different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God saw him different. Amen.
Amen.
I raised right there in that Elmo little bitty town, 100 people. Amen. Amen. I didn't know one of these days I'd be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That I'd have the opportunity to see these miracles other men were doing, the wonderful works of God. I tell you, it's wonderful to know what God can do.
Amen.
Huh? I always was a run, I tell you. Always come at the end of everything. 9 players, I got the right field. Now that's not an important place. Anyhow, God, I had a dream.
Yeah.
I got the Holy Ghost one day.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Boho. I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. God gave me a dream above anything I'd ever seen, ever heard. Hallelujah. Not bragging, but I've met some of the greatest men of God. They've come and stayed in my house. I'll talk to them about the wonderful works of God. Not because of me, but because God gave us a vision. Hallelujah. We were going to have a church of 250 people when we started. Hallelujah. Took us a while to get it, but we got it. Hallelujah. Then we had to dream again and dream again and dream again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, let me breathe a little bit. Well, I'm about to get down to the good part. Who are we? Men and women of the Most High God. Prized possessions in the earth. God's looking over the righteous. He knows you're here this morning. He knows this message is good for you this morning, like it's good for me. We need the supernatural. So I'll give you a few illustrations just briefly in the Bible and then go some more. Joshua was in the battle with the whole host of the Amorites and some of the other kings and all their host of armies. And Joshua was losing the battle. He needed some more time. The Bible says, in the face of all Israel, he cried out, Son, stand still. The Bible said it stood still for about the time of a whole day. That messes up these smart people trying to figure everything out.
Right.
I've tried it myself and I didn't get nowhere. But I know it's so because the Bible says it's so. If you question one thing, you'll question something else. He said it never happened before. Probably won't ever happen again. But it happened. That'll happen. How about Caleb? Caleb said, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive the giants out. Moses promised me that Horeb where all those giants were, and I'm going to get it. I can do it because God promised it, and he's going to give it to me.
Amen.
And when they went into battle, you know who won? Joshua won. You know why he won? The Bible says God sent a great hailstone. Sent it down on them and killed more with the hailstone than they did with the sword. I tell you, God wants to fight our battle so we'll be winners and not losers. Amen. What about you? What do you call that when it gets all over you? Well, glory. Now, these give glory to God. Testimonies give glory to God. It lifts Him up. It praises Him. And He wants to know what's been done over and over and over and over again. How many times have people preached on the Red Sea dividing? How did it divide? Called one man of God, took authority over it. Stand still and see the glory of the Lord and start parting. Got them all across. Glory be to God. Won the victory. Hallelujah. Elijah took authority over when he got to the Jordan River. The resurrection day, rapture day for him. Amen. Even the young prophets knew, they were telling everybody, he's going up, he's going up. Elisha was with him. They come to the River Jordan. What are you going to do? Wasn't there a ramp, wasn't there? The boats there, nothing to get across. What are you going to do? Huh? Well, tell me. He took the battle and he smote the water. Glory to God. It divided and he went across in mud knee deep.
No.
Dry ground. You mean God can do that too?
Yes, amen. I believe it.
Oh, you come by. Who y'all? Paul said, don't speak more than, don't speak. He'd rather speak a whole lot of words, 5,000 words in 5 minutes. Or,
5 words again.
Yeah, something like that. Anyhow, you heard. You tell them about what's right. Anyhow, I've done broke my five, but I'm not Paul. Sometimes things just come out. I know his soul because it comes out of other churches too when they don't believe in that kind of stuff. Well, I'm about through with that. Yeah, I'm going to tip that over. Well, we'll give you some. Now, these are some miracles, supernatural things I've witnessed, been close to, and I know to be a fact. And I'm going to give you some, and my wife's going to help some more. Good. We had years ago. Most of the good things seemed like happened years ago. That's what you remember. Years ago, we had a children's church pastor, Odell and Mickey Stewart. They were real dedicated. They loved God and doing a real, real good job. They were taking a vacation one day, and they got out in the desert, and towns were way apart, and run out of gas. What you going to do when you run out of gas? Tell you what they did. They began to pray. They began to hold hands and pray and shout and talk to God about it.
Yeah.
You know what happened? They opened their car, stopped, and they began to pray. Then, they said he turned the key on, mashed the starter. That's when you had to have a starter. Mashed the starter on it. Said the thing started up. It went all the way to the next town with the empty tank. Well, now, Tabe, Pastor, I just don't believe that. Well, you might as well go to sleep because that's just starting it. If you didn't believe that, you're not going to believe the rest of it. Well, Lou, now, she's going to help me. You got your mic on? Come up here. She's going to do some, and I'm going to do some of this. Good to have some good support. Don't tell about it. Our prayer warrior, Davy Henson.
Okay. This lady has been in our church almost from day one, and she had a real praying mother. Daisy was head of our prayer team at the church. She and one other lady was our really, really prayer warriors, and they were always there. Well, this happened to her when she was a little girl. Her mother was a prayer warrior. Her daddy was an alcoholic. And he took him up into a mountain somewhere and left him in a cabin. That's all I know about that. Left him somewhere. They'd run out of food. And she said the night before her mother got to pray, and said she, as she prayed, she got to dance it all around over the house, over the floor, and said all of a sudden she was dancing about this far over the floor. Praise the Lord. And she said, the food's are coming, the food's are coming, the food's are coming. We're going to have something to eat tomorrow. Well, the next morning, a knock came on the door, and she started to the door, and the door opened, and a hand came in with two rabbits dressed and ready to cook. And she ran and got them, and it was snow everywhere. And she ran and got them and put them over on the cabin. She ran back to see who it was. There was nobody there. There was not a footprint around the door. But they had the rabbits, and they had food to eat. Because her mother touched God the night before and knew that the food was coming. And Daisy said to me, Lou, that happened so many times when I was a little girl. My mother knew how to pray, and she taught me to pray. And that's why she was a prayer warrior at our church. Her mother taught her to pray, and she was a prayer warrior.
Our older daughter is about, she's 65, I think, something like that. When she was 6 years old, she had polio. So you tell about the healing of polio.
And Brother just started preaching. He was preaching faith, and he was preaching healing, and he was preaching everything that he'd heard Oral Roberts preach. That's what he was preaching. Preaching Oral Roberts sermons and preaching everything Oral Roberts preached. And here we had a little girl now that couldn't do her foot like this when she walked. She had to drag that foot. And so the doctor said, well, you're just so blessed. You know, those were the days when polio was bad. One whole floor of Harris Hospital was given just to polio patients, and we were up there. And they sent us home, and the doctor said, now she's doing real well. She has that limp. She'll always have it because of this and that and the other. But she'll just do fine with it. She'll handle it just fine. And they brought me home and showed me how to give her exercise and so forth. So, well, we prayed and we believed God she was healed. He kept saying, every time he'd look at her, he'd say, you're healed, Janet. You're healed, do you hear me? You walk without any limp. You walk without any problem. You're healed. And so we just kept saying that and kept saying that. And so I just quit giving her exercise. I didn't give her any more exercise. It didn't look like doing any good anyway. So finally, that I had to take her in for checkups to see if I was doing my job, what they were telling me to do. I took her in this time, and they said, well, maybe I might have you come to work for me. Ms. Nichols said, she's just well. There's just nothing wrong with her anymore. So she's just doing, I thought she was walking awfully good. She's just fine. He said, you've done a good job, honey. You've done a good job. And I said, yes, I have. I've trusted God. So...
Hallelujah.
She has no limp today. She's perfectly whole.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We had a missionary that came to our church years ago. He was a medical doctor, but he was a missionary down in Brazil, in the Amazon River. And he was a wonderful man of God, had a lot of experiences, had miracles happen in his life. Said he one time he went to... He got some heathen men to go with him back to the tribe to go with him, and he went to a new tribe. And when they got there, they thought he was somebody that ought not to be there, and they was going to start to burn him at stakes. And he saw him bring the wood and put it around the post, and he watched them there. And when they got him to come to get him, he says he was playing his saxophone. He had played the saxophone and had music going all the time. And he said, the Lord, with a miracle, raised him about two foot, all the group was with him, off of the ground. And instead of losing that tribe, he won them to the Lord. I tell you, that's what miracles are for, to win people to God. People are hungry for it. That's why they're going for the new age and all this mess that's going on right now. Because we as a whole are not producing what we're supposed to produce. We can preach it, but it's got to start acting on it.
Amen.
Take time to let the Holy Ghost move. Let Him work. Let Him act. Hallelujah. He can do some good things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, lost my thought. You may lose a few of them when you get 91. I hear you. Most people got their crutches on when they're 91. Hallelujah. I'm using the notes now. You know what I did when I first started? I memorized Oral Roberts' sermon, the fourth man. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. I preached that sermon all over the country. These little towns didn't know anything about Bill Roberts. And they shouted me down. You preachers are here, I mean here, don't be afraid to preach somebody else's message if it's real good. Well, I tell you, so many of the young ones, I want to get my own. It won't be very good, I can tell you that. Well, anyhow, this doctor called it. Many times, he would come and stay with us in our house. And when our twin married and was gone, it had been about 30-something years ago, we had a room and it was set aside as a prophet's room. Amen. You know where that prophet's room is? Yeah, you slept in that. Been so many preachers slept on that, I had to buy a new mattress the other day. We usually didn't send them to the motel. Evangelists are tired of motels. They want some home kind of feeling. So what happened at the house? Ever come one time, they want to come back. He come and he'd stay with us. He'd preach somewhere else. He wouldn't even let him. He'd buy it, he'd come home and get some of her good old chocolate pie. Amen.
Like my
be good to the men of God. God will bless you for it. Bless you for it. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard of Norval Hayes? Man, he's a go-getter, isn't he? I want to tell you a little about him. He preached for me some, and he didn't really liked it. He just made himself at home. He could have rented the biggest hotel in town. He's a millionaire. Had some hotels himself in other place. But until that, he came to our house one time, and every time he came to Fort Worth or Dallas area, he'd say, Lou, that's her, Lou.
Can we tell it?
Yeah, you can tell that. Finish it up.
He come to Dallas and Zona, his daughter had written a book, and they were always taking that book around and having book signings and that kind of thing. He was in Dallas and he called me and said, is anybody in that prophet's room back there? And I said, no, Norval, there's not anybody there. Would you like to come? Yes, I sure would. I'm over in Dallas with Zona and I'd like to come. And I said, just come on. It's all yours. And he said, well, I do have Zona with me. Well, bring Zona. I'd never have met her. I'd love to have her. Well, and we have the baby. And I said, well, I'm a grandmother, you know, and I've got everything that you need for a grandbaby. So just come on and bring the grandbaby in. And and we have the nanny that takes care of the baby. Well, bring her too. Just bring them all. Norval, come on. Well, he said, and listen. And I have a driver that drives up, carries all the books and everything. He said, is there somebody in your truck? I said, no, bring the driver on. I said, I've got, you know my house. I've got plenty of room and I'll put him up too. So just bring everybody in. Come on. So, okay. So here they came, all of them. And so he came in and he pulled his shoes off and sits down on the couch and puts his feet up on the coffee table and just makes himself at home.
That is when you really learn. What's on the inside of a great man of God that you're talking to? You learn things from them when you get an opportunity to be around them. Don't talk very much. Listen real good. You already know what you know. You're going to find out what they know. Thank you, Jesus. Well, oh, we've just had numbers of people there. I'm getting a little bit of reputation. I go to California every first week in October and stay with a blind pastor there, Bill Krause, a nice man. And we go to his house. We stay in his home, and he's got a room set aside. Last time I went there, he had a sign over the door. The little man from Elmo Press leapt here. I'm going to name a few more of his good friend of mine. Tracy Harris, well, maybe you know, he's in Texarkana. He's a great man of God. He got the power of God. I tell you, part of that anointing, I prophesied over him. I don't prophesy over many people, but I don't get it. But I prophesied over him. Some of that spirit was on Oral Roberts, going to come out on him. He's got the boldness. He's got the something. He's got the statue. The people wish us. We have a just in our church, Billy Smith. Nobody knows about Billy Smith. I know about Billy Smith. He was a machinist, and every time he'd come by the church, he'd want to do something, work and do something around the church and so forth. The Lord called him to preach, and he called him to the mission field. And he went to Europe, some of those countries are in Europe. And he came back with the stories, what the miracles he had, all the people blind were seeing and deaf with hearing and all this coming on. And I thought, well, I believe you're a good man. But next time he went, I sent my associate pastor over there with him, find out what was going on. He came back and he said, Brother Nichols, he's another Kenneth Copeland when he gets over there. Anointing's on his life. And these things are happening. Glory to God. So he raised right there in my church. He comes over to my house now, sometimes sits on the van, and I listen to him. He tells me about the miracle that's taking place. Y'all getting anything here? This is for us, you know. Everybody needs a miracle. Maybe a little miracle. Can't do it. Yes, I will. I want to talk about a small miracle. Miracle's a miracle. You come back, listen kind of short. Tell about that coat, the miracle coat.
The Lord sent us down in East Texas, almost to the border, to pastor one time, do some supply pastoring. It was our first experience. We were saying, Lord, if the field is white to harvest and the laborers are few, why are we sitting here? Why is Harold still building houses when we want to be out there so bad? Just why don't you send us? So he just took me at my word, and he sent us down here, down this little Texas town, to do some supply pastoring. And we just said we were going to live on whatever they paid us. It didn't matter what it was. We were going to live on what we got. Okay. So we got down there, and they didn't give us very much because they didn't have very much, but they had plenty to eat, black-eyed peas. Tell you, we had black-eyed peas to eat until the dog wouldn't even eat the black-eyed peas. He didn't have anything to feed the dog with. It was so bad.
Now, the blood test is 99% pea juice.
Oh, Daddy. Well, he tries to ruin my story every time. You know. Well, we got that. We had plenty to eat. And so this lady, it was a couple in the church that had a big deep freeze in the backyard. It was the back porch was a great big thing. And she had everything you can think of in there to eat, because I'd peek in there when I'd go down there and see what was in there. She said, oh, Sister Nichols, come by after church. And, come by tomorrow. She told me this at church. And I want to give you a couple of chickens. I said, oh, okay, I'll be right there. I thought we'd get them out of that deep freeze. But she goes out in the backyard and just catches them like this, you know, and she catches another one. And then she starts to hand them to me. And I said, aren't you going to tie their feet or something? She said, are you afraid of them? I said, no, I'm not afraid of them. I was raised on the farm. But I can't drive a car and hold these chickens. So at least tie their feet together. So she reached up in the tree and got a piece of wire and wound their feet all together and handed them to me. And I was parked on the front. And I hated to take them, but I did. And they just turned their heads up like this, quack at me, you know. And I just went back this door. I said, like I would have been afraid of them. And I just couldn't wait to get to the car and put them down. So I got home and to the house, and I said, went to the back door, and he was back there studying in the back room, and I knocked on the window, and I said, what do I do with these? He said, throw them over the back fence. So I put them under a tub out there, and the next day he got nerve enough to kill them. And so I never dressed a chicken. I watched my mother and my grandmother do it. But I boiled the water. I knew how to do that. And I got the chickens, and I doused them down in the water. And after they were dead, I mean. And I dried them down in the hot water. And I picked all the feathers off of them. And I said, now you can cut them up. Well, he sharpened the knife good. And together we cut those two chickens up. And we had some pieces I'd never seen before, but we got them cut up. And we put them in the freezer for 2 or 3 days. I just couldn't think about eating them after I smelled all that hot water. Ooh, it was terrible. I found out you didn't go to the grocery store and get everything. So, but we finally ate them, and they were very good because we were ready for them by the time we had the nerve to eat them.
Okay. I'll just wait. I'll give you a minute. Amen. I'm just going to have to come back to finish this. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm going to
next year.
Yeah. What am I trying to do? Tell us about our song director, Edwin Stump.
We had a great worship leader one time named Edwin Stump. He was a great singer. Everybody loved him. But he had a terrible heart attack. And he was doing real well. We were real thrilled and praise God for it all. But he kind of took a turn for the worst anyway. He was in the hospital, and the doctor called me one Sunday morning. And he said, "Lou, this is so-and-so, the doctor." He said, "I want to tell you that Edwin is more dead than alive. And if the church doesn't pray this morning, you won't have him tonight. He's that near gone." So a man, when the church came into the auditorium after Sunday school was over, I got up there and I said, "We're not having any church today. We're praying for Edwin Stump. The doctor says he's near dead than alive, and so we want to keep our worship leader. So this is simply a prayer meeting from now till 12 o'clock. And I called the whole church down, and we just got all over that auditorium praying and praising God. And I tell you, we had a Pentecostal prayer meeting that morning. We shouted and praised the Lord and ran around all over that auditorium and praised God. And he, by the night, he was doing real well, and he's still living today.
Hallelujah. My daughter and son-in-law lived years ago just a block away from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And he had a first norther come, and Brother Copeland didn't have any wood. And so they ran back home and got an armful of wood, all they could carry, both of them, and brought it and gave it to Brother Copeland so he'd have a good fireplace that night. And what happened? 40 years later, my son-in-law, he's never had to buy any wood. People give him wood, bring him wood. He got some stocked up already for this winter. It lasted 40 years by carrying one load. Talk about 100-fold, man. Alive, that's 100-fold, isn't it? Glory to Jesus. I think they ought to get one or two more. Yeah, one I got here, the end of it. We were having a prayer meeting. It was a small group one time. Brother Copeland was there with us. And she had a garter here. Had been had a good while. She had a pretty good hump there.
It's right down here.
It's down here, yeah. And she said, "Lou, come here." He flipped that thing. Not that hard. He slapped that. And he said, "Swallow that, Scout. Swallow it, swallow it, swallow it, swallow it." And she must have swallowed it, and she hadn't had it again. Now, miracles happen. Miracles happen. This is a real short one right here. Just tell that in about 30 seconds. Holly and the mumps.
Okay. When Holly, as her first granddaughter, was about, she was 2 years old maybe, and they were getting ready to go on a camping trip with his mother and daddy in a tent up in the mountains somewhere up in Colorado. And I've been saying, "Leave the baby with me. She don't know what's going on, and you all just have a good time." "No, we want to teach her all these things." And we went when we were little and so forth and so on. So they were going to take her. Well, she got up that morning with the mumps. I mean, she was swollen both sides. It was bad. I said, "Now you can't take her." "Well, we prayed last night, and she's healed." I said, "I know, Janet, that's what the Word of God says, and I agree with you, but she's still all swelled up." "Well, she's healed anyway. We're taking her." And I argued with her, but then when David came in, he said, "Now, Lou, we're taking her, Holly. She's perfectly healed." I did get this much nerve. I said, "David, look at her." He said, "I'm not moved with what I see. I'm moved with what I believe, and I believe she's healed."
That's my kids.
Yes, sir. So they took her. And I cried and I cried, but didn't do a bit of good. So that night I said, "Now, Lord, I couldn't keep her here. You're where she is. I believe you tonight that when they get up in the morning, wherever they are, she'll have no swollen mumps. They'll all be gone." And they were.
We got 5 minutes. I think that's a good when I was at that.
This last time?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the hospital.
Okay. Harold had something wrong with his stomach, anyway, and his chest. So he couldn't get, we couldn't get rid of the pain. We prayed, and so I just took him to the hospital. And so I called Janet and David, and I said, come in the morning and pray for him. The doctor had been by that afternoon and checked him, and he said, well, you've got something wrapped around a hernia that you've got. And he said, it'll take surgery. I can't do anything for you, except, but I'll come by tomorrow, check you. We'll make some arrangements. It's a simple operation, and I'll take care of it, and we'll just go in there and take it all out, and then you'll be fine. Okay, so Jed and David came that night and anointed with oil, laid hands on him and prayed for him. And I remember very well David said that he cursed that thing and he demanded it to go and for him to be totally healed. And so they prayed and left. And the next morning the doctor came and he said, well, I'm going to make the arrangements for the surgery, but I think I'll check you first. He said, sometimes I can move it myself. So I'm going to give it one good shot to try to move it myself. And he started, which he said, well, it's already gone. Where did it go? And he couldn't find it. So we just thanked the Lord for it. It was a miracle.
I have one of my daughters, her twins. She's about 50. 3 years ago, she had breast cancer. Could you do that? Tell real quick how she got here.
And, well, she said, I'm not going to have surgery. I'm not going to have chemo. I'm going to trust God. So that Sunday morning, they came to church, and she said, I'm ready. Got the group together. She wanted to get together to go into their office, and we anointed her with oil and prayed for her. And she accepted her healing right there. Well, the lump was still there. In fact, two or three days later, two or three more lumps came. But I didn't know that. So she just knew she was healed, and make a long story short, they believed God and trusted God. And so, sure enough, in a few days, the limbs were all gone, and they haven't ever come back. She's as healed as she could be today. And she said, sometimes the devil says, well, it's coming back. And she said, well, if it's coming back, I'll get rid of it again. So you just don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. So you don't just leave me alone. I am the healed of the Lord. The Word says,
glory.
This is what she says. The Word says, I'll live and not die and proclaim the Word of God. And she's a good little preacher today. She takes that from me.
Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of these days I'll talk to you about the miracle of Berry Street Baptist Church. But not this morning. Well, the dinner's going to get, we'll let it get cold. We'll heat it up.
I'll be careful.
Good.
Okay, thank you. He was very introvert. He just never talked. In fact, he was so quiet. Until when I told my best friend, I said, guess what? I'm going to marry Harold Nichols. And she said, dear Lord, Lou, did you ask him? I said, no, I didn't ask him. He asked me. She said, I've never heard him say anything. I didn't know if he could talk or not. So he was just about that quiet. And we'd go to church, and as soon as it was over, he'd just hit me by the hand. Let's go. I want to visit. Let's go. He was ready to go. He was afraid somebody would say something to him, and he'd have to answer him. And he didn't know what to say, so he wasn't going to stay around. But when he got the Holy Ghost on Thursday night, that Sunday morning, in this Baptist church where we attended, the whole people, or Sunday school, came together in the auditorium. There's about 400 or 500 of us. And then they'd have a little devotion, something in there. As I was in the youth, so I don't know what happened. But anyway, then they dismissed their classes. And so this Sunday morning, they'd ask him to say those few minutes he was going to say before they dismissed the classes. And he, so I knew he was going to do that, so I stayed in there to see what he was going to do. he read something. I don't remember what it was, but he read something, and then he started to preaching. And the pastor came out of his office and looked, what in the world's going on? He preached for about 20 to 30 minutes, just as hard as he could go first time. And people said, what has happened to Harold Nichols? What has happened to Harold Nichols?
Supernatural!
And he started preaching from then on, and he's still a preaching, as you can And, you know, he's kind of funny. This little lady right here looked at him like it was, but like she didn't want to do with him. He will hurt you, honey. That's just the way he is.
Oh, I didn't know I did. Well, we'll close with this. Supernatural events brings life to the church. We need to expect the supernatural. Galatians 4. We're no longer sinners, but God's own children. Don't you think he cared about it? And everything he has belongs to you. For this is the will of God for your life. Amen. Now, I'm going to close this with a little politics. You know, you need to do that. So I'm going to close it with that. I, William Harold Nichols, approve of this sermon.
That's my sweetheart, I can tell you for sure. I know it's time to go, but I have one other thing I need to share about a miracle. I had this lady in my Sunday school class years ago, and during the heart of the depression in the 30s, I guess that's when it was, the Great Depression they talk about, you know. And she said they owed $600 on their house, and her daddy did not have it. And he done everything he could to raise the money. He couldn't get it, so they were going to foreclose on their house. And her mother said, they're not taking my house. God gave me this house. It's mine, and they're not taking it. He said, honey, I don't have the $600. Don't you understand that? I can't get the $600. So it's nothing but right that they take the house. They're not having my house. The Lord will take care of it, he said. He said, what you going to do? I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. He's going to take care of it. And I'll be praying, and you just watch. God will take care of it. And so she faithfully prayed, and she prayed. So he said, send somebody from the loan company out there to foreclose on, give them those papers, whatever you do. And they got to the door and heard her praying. And he didn't get in front of the door. He went back and he said, I couldn't do it. He said, I never heard anybody pray like that. He said, so they sent another man out there. He said, give it to me. I'm not. He had the same thing happened. He just couldn't do it either. So the main man at the office said, I'll take it. You guys are just softies. So he gets up on the front porch, and he said, what is she got somebody in there? And he listened, and she was praying. And he said, you know, she was talking to the Lord like he was standing there in person. And I thought, I listened. And he said, if she's got the Lord in there in person, I don't want to serve him in any papers. So I believe I'll go back to the office. So he just went back to the office and paid it himself. Now listen, I knew the lady, I had a lady in my Sunday school class, of this woman's daughter was in my Sunday school class, and she was telling us this story. And she said, after we grew up, my sister and I, and we were married and everything, she said, we found these papers in their stuff and was their belongings anyway, and so we realized really afresh what had happened. So we found out the loan company. So we said, we'll just go and find this loan company and we'll pay them the $600. You and I'll do it, the two sisters. So they found the loan company. They went to see the man. They said to who they were and the story and everything. He said, no, you're not going to pay me. He said, That was a blessing. He said, your mother knew how to talk to God. It was not just prayer. She knew him in a way that I'd never known anybody to know the Lord. And it made an impression on my life. And I was glad to pay the $600. And it's been a blessing to me. So you don't owe me $600. Take your money and give it to somebody else. He said, that changed my life, he said. So I just was glad to know her. So that's a good story. And it's a true story because, see, I knew the people real well.